Welcome back to the Independent Republic of Mike Graham right here on Talk Radio. When you look at the Daily Telegraph in the morning, you see a headline that says this, Europe threatens sausage trade war. You think we've gone back to the 80s, wouldn't you? But unbelievably, it is actually a correct headline because apparently the overriding Brexit treaty to ensure sales extensions for Northern Ireland would bring apparently swift retaliation. Basically, Maros Sefcovic has written in the Telegraph on behalf of the EU, in which he says the EU will react swiftly, firmly and resolutely if Britain unilaterally extends the grace period in the Northern Ireland Protocol, which will effectively mean, apparently, that you won't be able to sell British goods in Northern Ireland, which is actually in Britain. Huh? Let's try and get this explained. Ben Habib is here, former Brexit Party MEP, businessman, of course. Ben, very good morning to you.
Good morning, Mike.
I mean, it sounds ridiculous in a way, but it's really quite serious, isn't it?
It is very serious. And actually, what's happened here is, in effect, the union of the United Kingdom no longer exists. Mm. And it's not just me that's saying that. You might be aware, Mike, that me and a few other people, including Lord Trimble, an architect of the Belfast Agreement, no less, have brought a legal action against the government over the protocol. And during the course of the High Court hearing in Belfast a couple of weeks ago, actually the council acting for government said explicitly that the government regards the Act of Union as repealed. So
repealed?
Repealed.
Really?
The government takes the view that when it passed the Withdrawal Agreement Act in 2018 and then is varied in 2020, it repealed the Act of Union. So in effect, what we're now seeing, Mike, is what you would expect from our government, which is the end of the Union of the United Kingdom. It hasn't made it onto mainstream media. Mm. And I'm expressing it, I think, most clearly now for the first time. I've expressed it in sort of legal language before, but it hasn't hit home.
Yeah.
But what the Council for Government said on the 16th of May, this last month, was that the Act of Union 1800 no longer stands. What he was basically saying is that Northern Ireland is no longer part of the United Kingdom, and therefore it should be no surprise to anyone that we can't easily sell British goods in Northern Ireland.
Now, we were also told, were we not, when the agreement was finally sort of ratified, the withdrawal agreement, that is, that Northern Ireland was in a unique position of being both in the United Kingdom and in the EU. So does it remain in the EU then?
Well, it effectively does, and there's no getting out of it either. The Prime Minister's made a big song and dance about the fact that there's the ability for Stormont to strike down the protocol every 4 years. Mm. Well, it hasn't got that ability. Actually, every 4 years, it has the opportunity to strike down a part of the protocol, but large swathes of it go on in perpetuity. The constitutional setup, not just of Northern Ireland, Mike, the constitutional setup of the United Kingdom has been varied. And the biggest misrepresentation by the government is on page 5 of the Conservative Party manifesto, in which the Prime Minister said the country would leave the European Union as one united kingdom. And now we have the government saying in the High Court that actually the Act of Union no longer stands. In other words, we have not left the European Union as one united kingdom. We have left part of our country behind. We have become the first country in history to voluntarily partition itself in peacetime.
That's an extraordinary statement, Ben, and I'm happy you've made it here because it's a very important story that we must discuss. But you and I have also talked about this in the past, Ben, and you've said that the EU has been quite intransigent here, and if they were less intransigent, it might be possible to find some kind of a way through it.
Absolutely. The EU has weaponized, and I use that word advisedly, I'm not trying to stoke up trouble, but it actually weaponized the Irish border issue in order to gain a negotiating advantage via Northern Ireland during the Brexit negotiations. That's what it did. Mm. It effectively, Leo Varadkar and others threatened violence if the customs checks were put on the island of Ireland. Actually, Mike, there's an EU report from November 2017, which makes it completely clear that you could have a smart border with limited facilities on the island dealing with customs checks. And the other thing you've got to remember is that goods flowing to and from Ireland from Northern Ireland amount to about 5 billion a year. Mm. Goods flowing from Great Britain to Northern Ireland and back are about 27 billion a year. So where we've put the border is an altogether much more challenging location than if we'd put it where there is already a border between Northern Ireland and Ireland on the island of Ireland, which is where it should be.
Right.
It's completely daft as brushes.
But that was, of course, something that was not considered to be the right way to go because of the threats of violence, which I always thought was a stupid idea. You know, why would you not put a border somewhere in case somebody blows it up?
Yeah. Well, the border's there. You know, this is the other great hijacking of the truth that the EU and Ireland have managed to perpetrate. It's as if they've claimed and people have accepted that there's no border on the island of Ireland at the moment. There is a border there. It separates two countries. Mm. It separates two currencies. It separates two different corporation tax rates, which I'm very glad to see Ireland is going to come under pressure with going forward, as you would have picked up from the G7.
Yeah.
So, but you know, but there's a border on the island of Ireland, and that's where the customs checks should be. And any other narrative actually is a fundamental breach, not just of the Act of Union, as I've mentioned, but of the Belfast Agreement itself. The Belfast Agreement says you cannot vary the constitutional setup of Northern Ireland without a cross-community consent of the people, and they've given no such consent.
Well, it seems extraordinary, doesn't it? Do you think Mr. Sefcovic then is slightly rattling a sabre here, or do you think we are heading into some dangerous waters?
No, we are heading into dangerous waters, and the EU will double down. The EU will not relent. The EU sees its opportunity in Northern Ireland not just to damage the United Kingdom. It wishes to dismember the United Kingdom, and actually it's having a great degree of success in that endeavour. It wishes to break up the United Kingdom. We had the temerity to vote to leave the EU. We had the temerity to actually leave, and now it wants to break us up. It doesn't care about the people of Northern Ireland. It doesn't care about their welfare. It wants to send a message to every other member state in the European Union, and it is going to do it by making an example of the United Kingdom.
Yeah, and much of it is all about saving face for them, isn't it?
Absolutely, and saving their project, their precious project. That's what it's all about. Mm. You know, you have a bunch of unelected officials in Brussels who are protecting their project.
Right. Meanwhile, we read also on the same front page of the Telegraph with a very nice picture of three lovely looking little children coming in this now what I call, you know, sort of industrial scale business of people trafficking that's going on. The European Union will not accept any returns which they have previously agreed to accept. 1,503 migrants who were inadmissible as asylum seekers and should be returned to their country in the EU from whence they came. No EU country has taken anyone back.
No, and that's another great shame, really. One of the benefits of leaving the European Union and the opportunity to ditch the European Convention of Human Rights was that we would be able to take, as the Prime Minister repeatedly said, control of our borders. But actually, we see here now, again, that we don't even have control of our own borders. Mm. And again, the EU is going to go on using this. It's going to go on using it as an irritant in the United Kingdom to have its way with us, to punish us, to show to the rest of Europe that actually the United Kingdom was unable to leave the EU successfully. And the great shame here is that in the Trade and Cooperation Agreement, the Prime Minister has signed up to the European Convention of Human Rights as a matter of treaty. So we are stuck in the ECHR. There is nothing that Priti Patel can do about those illegal immigrants coming across the North Sea. There's nothing we can do unilaterally.
I mean, you might think that a clever negotiator might put the two things together and might somehow say, well, you know, you have in order for you to get this, you have to give us that.
Well, the only thing that is going to get us now out of this problem is the Prime Minister and Cabinet preparing this country to ditch the withdrawal agreement and ditch the trade and cooperation agreement. Take unilateral action to prepare for ditching it. And there's a great deal that it can do in order to mitigate any adverse consequences as a result of that. And then, having prepared the country for it, they should ditch those two agreements, and we should actually Brexit properly. And the only solution here is to Brexit properly.
And that, effectively, is a no deal then, right?
That's a no deal. And it's what we should have done right at the outset. Yeah. Like, we had the ability. We're the fifth largest economy in the world, 10th largest armed forces. We could easily have prepared ourselves unilaterally to leave the EU without an agreement. But we had a complete vacuum of leadership, a complete weakness in political will. And I repeatedly spoke to people in the Conservative Party at high level about the need to prepare all the way from 2016 onwards. Mm. And never was any genuine unilateral preparation made. They just sought this deal. And the minute you commit yourself to pursuing a deal at all costs, you're going to get a lousy deal. And that's what we've got, a lousy deal. And we're paying the price for it now.
Yes, and I think you're absolutely right. We'd be better off without any deal at all. Ben Habib, thank you very much indeed. Former Brexit Party MEP, businessman. Fears for what's going on in Northern Ireland, quite rightly, I think, because as he says, the government have now accepted that it's a position of theirs that the Act of Union no longer exists, that Northern Ireland can no longer be considered to be guaranteed to remain part of the United Kingdom. That, I have to say, is an extraordinary statement.